Oh, no, we suck again.
No!
Yeah, that was a perfect drop. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for rolling with us today on a Cowboy Monday, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin Wade, Jonathan Shippy Shipman, Kevin KT Turner, the pride and joy of only Texas, and all of Texas, and all of the United States, and all of the world is hurting today as the Dallas Cowboys lose to the Saints 12-0.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I hadn't even really considered it. It's basically a complete reversal of last year's Saints-Cowboys game, mm-hmm. where the Cowboys won 13-10 with an incredible defensive effort. It was a team in the Saints, different time of year, but that had been rolling incredibly high offensively. And then they came into our building, and that offense ran into the ground. It just stopped. And that's what happened yesterday. Cowboys offense had been super prolific, obviously against lesser teams, but they just couldn't get things going. They fumble farted away opportunities, Ben. Dak missed some throws. The offense was confounding what Kellen and the gang were calling, and it was a very, very frustrating game because even if the Cowboys had lost, I think people expected them to lose in a shootout, and that never materialized.
I'm not broken about it. I'm not hurting today, honestly, though, because it's a tough place to go win.
Yeah.
And it was a hard-fought game. The USA Today said the Cowboys were embarrassed or exposed. I don't see it that way. There are some perplexing aspects of it. Like, I don't understand why the Cowboys went back to this, hey, let's run the ball on first down thing. I don't know why they insisted on cramming the ball up the middle. We saw it so many times last year. It almost seemed like, I don't know, Lenahan snuck onto the sideline and took Kellen Moore's headset. It certainly felt like that at times. It just felt like a simplified, older version of kind of what the Cowboys had done in the past. One person brought this up to me. They're like, okay, wait a second. Are they just now going back to that style because now they feel like Zeke's ready? He wasn't ready before because he was in Cabo. I don't think so. I like your theory about the noise, about keeping it simple. And you know, listening to Jason Garrett today, he got a little testy on with Sean and RJ. The reality is they had some things that didn't go their way. They had a couple penalties with Amari Cooper. They had two fumbles that were uncharacteristic, from one from Witt and one from Zeke. And a couple things didn't go their way, and they were still very much in this thing. But Garrett just points out, you look up and, you know, with putting the ball on the ground a couple times and a couple of the ways things got away from us, you look up, we only had 9 drives in the game. And so they just didn't have a lot of plays, I guess. That still doesn't, I mean, they went into this game to me and said, hey, we're not going to use Pollard as much. We're going to run the ball up the middle more. And that backfired. The game plan backfired.
Why don't we just start wildly theorizing and speculating on why they did what they did yesterday? A couple things struck me, though. We've spent a lot of time through the first 3 weeks of the season talking about what the Cowboys have and haven't shown in tendencies and some of these sorts mm-hmm. of things. And so, you know, Garrett is such a game plan guy and is such a, we're going to stick to what we do. And I think they had prepared all week going in there saying, we're going to run the ball. We're going to wear them down. We're going to take them out of the game with long drives and take the noise out of it. And we saw this anytime they tried to audible, it got real crazy and real hectic, and it was difficult for them to do. And quite frankly, I think that was their approach, and I think their approach was pretty right because I think the Cowboys should have won that game when you look at the fact that the defense held the Saints to 12 points when they got 2 turnovers at midfield. And so I think that their game plan was to go in there and kind of dominate the old way, and quite frankly, they should have done that. They thought they were going to do that. They thought they were going to make all that happen. And I think the other aspect of it is to have teams sitting there scratching their head going, who are these Cowboys and what they're doing? Because it wasn't been just even running the ball that much. The pre-snap motion stuff wasn't there like we've seen before. And so they're throwing a lot of different things out there that people hadn't been prepared for. You know, through this first month of the season, and teams that they're going to play more are going to be like, wait a minute, why are they doing this? I think that they thought they could win that way. They were pretty close to winning that way. They just had 3 turnovers and some missed opportunities, and that's how you lose a road game 12-10.
I got a lot of, I guess, thoughts in my head. Maybe one of it was they thought the Saints might overcorrect. So, hey, we'll go back to our old ways and just, mm-hmm. I think more than anything, they thought, because that Jason's core, the identity of this team, is still Jason, right? Mm-hmm. At least for now it is. Maybe I would have thought different if things would have gone differently last night. At the core, they thought they could just line up and beat the Saints. Mm-hmm. And honestly, they kind of
they should have.
They kind of did in some aspects of the game. Both teams shot themselves in the foot about a zillion times. I can't help but think about, remember the fun, and we're playing when we say it, the fun discussions of, well, Jason's always able to go into Jerry and explain why things happened the way they happened,
right,
in a way that is good for Jason. Jason can do the same thing today, as he's always been able to do. He can go, well, if Witten doesn't fumble there, and if Zeke doesn't fumble there, I mean, you look, this is a whole different game, Jerry.
I think if you're playing the if-bomb game, it's really dangerous, because if New Orleans doesn't have all those dumb penalties, they beat the Cowboys by 20.
Yeah,
it could have been way worse. I mean, ultimately, the Cowboys got beat up front on both sides, right? Yeah. Even when they wanted to stop the Saints from running the ball, they, you know, the Saints were able to keep some, they were able to, you know, stay on the field, keep their offense on the field, keep drives going, convert third downs, and just run. And the Cowboys couldn't get the stops they needed to when they needed to. And then ultimately, dude, Lattimore put absolute clamps on Amari Cooper. That matchup of a top corner against a top receiver, advantage corner. I mean, dude, Amari got shut down.
I'm going to lie to myself and say that is because Amari was compromised. And that's why he had two offensive penalties.
Possible.
I mean,
Crap calls.
We're early in the season, but to have two offensive pass interference calls in one game on the same dude, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's flag happy all day long. I mean, as a guy who sat on my couch for 10 hours yesterday, like, guys, just keep the laundry in your pocket a little more often.
Don't you guys think?
It's unreal.
Don't you guys think that the refs carry something into a New Orleans game?
Sure.
I mean,
Human nature.
That crew was like 12-1.
I saw that.
For with the Saints. The Saints were 12-1 with that crew.
Yeah. With that head official.
I don't know. I don't know if they do or not, because there are so many of those refs around that crew who weren't there, you know, when that happened.
No, I'm just saying they know the perception of, hey, the league has screwed New Orleans.
I mean, the Saints had way more penalties than the Cowboys did. So,
yeah.
I look at it that way.
That's true.
We got some text messages coming in. This one is a common thread. The fact remains we got beat by a backup quarterback.
No, he's a starter.
He's a starting level. He's a starter caliber quarterback. He should be starting somewhere. And he's the highest paid backup in the league, right?
Yes.
He's a starter. He's a very capable quarterback.
He made good throws, too.
Yeah. So we didn't get beat by a backup.
That wasn't Cooper Rush that won that game for New Orleans.
No.
That was a good quarterback. That was a former, I think he was the first pick of the second round, right? Or was he into the first round? High pedigreed player. He just had a serious, serious injury that derailed his career. He was going to be Minnesota's franchise quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a common thread from the 469. He said, I'm going to look at this as a chess match. They might expect to see the Saints in the playoffs, so they gave them basic crap now, just to bounce later. It was a bait game. There's a lot of people that feel like this is a possibility, but I think it's so hard to win games in the NFL. I don't think they would have held back. I don't think they would have done anything. They got beat at the point of attack. They got beat on both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I think to that texter's point, that's kind of the way I feel about it, Ben, but not so much of, I think they felt like they could win stripping it down, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They put themselves in a position to, they didn't. Cat, look, if you're going to win games on the road against good teams, you got to execute great plays when you have the opportunity to do it. We'll talk about whether or not we thought Dak was good or bad or the same or whatever. Truth is, he missed a couple plays that he could have made, and had he made those plays, it's a completely different ballgame.
Somebody says, call it out. Don't be homers. Wow, you're not willing to call out overrated Dak who wants $40 million.
Yeah, just like seriously, bros.
Just like you don't pin everything when it goes well on Dak, you don't pin everything when it doesn't go well on Dak. And a quarterback needs time in the pocket. Did he miss some throws? He missed the we talked about
the
this.
The Cobb play.
The Randall Cobb, he missed that in
That's
the end zone. That's a touchdown. Was it his best game? Absolutely not, but he was also under duress. I mean, things were not working out. And again, we've talked about this time and time again. The reason why I think universally we don't like the Cowboys running the ball on first down is because it makes the rest of the drive more difficult. Mm-hmm. When you throw the ball on first down, it gives you a better chance, especially when they've run on first down so much in the past. And it just makes drives more difficult. So you're asking him to do something that's more difficult. I don't think that the Cowboys held back their scheme in terms of a chess match for later in the year. But what I do subscribe to is your theory, Skin, about the noise and the inability to call audibles because it was so freaking loud. And I think that does make some sense. but you don't need to hit the huddle with a run play call that you have to audible out of. They right. tried to run. Dude, 18 carries for 36 yards or 35 yards for Zeke. At what point do you realize, all right, we're not going to be able to run?
Yeah, no, you're right. And it also, though, it leads to the idea of that was everything going in, because once you're in there and you're in the chaos, it's hard to shift gears. And they never shifted gears, which means they were on one gear. That's the gear that they were going to throw down
with. They did shift gears. It was their first drive of the second half, and they scored a touchdown on it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't go back to it.
Which they probably discussed at halftime. We're going to go out there and do this first time we get the ball.
I do think there could be something. Hey, first of all, I hope it was a bait game. That would be awesome. But I do think there's something to the fact of dialing it down because you're in that environment. They just watched tape on the Saints doing that same exact thing in Seattle. I mean, the Saints, obviously, Bridgewater brings different circumstances than Drew Brees, but the Saints dialed down their game plan in Seattle because of crowd noise mm-hmm. and because of weather conditions and things like that. The Cowboys could have done the same thing, but I do think at their core, and there's no better example than the 4th-and-1 play, hey, we're going to line it up here, and we're going to beat you. And we've seen it a million times. Now, they did get 2 yards. It looked like they would have got the first down if Zeke doesn't fumble, but it was just like, guys, it doesn't have to be that close. It doesn't have to be like that. Load up the box, run right up the middle. We've seen it a million times, and that will get you beat if you continue to do it like that.
This gets into this word that we've used with Garrett a million times, and the word is conservative. Don't you guys agree not letting a dynamic rookie be a part of the action on the road is a conservative approach?
Yeah.
That's just a conservative mentality.
Right. Tough environment for him. Let's not put him in that. He might be rattled. The moment might be too much.
And think about it. So this is where we get into the whole I do not want to beat up Garrett for this game. Okay. Because we're not in those meetings. We don't know what was and wasn't done. But what we know is that Tony Pollard was Kellen Moore's toy. He wanted that. So we're looking at a game looking at a game that doesn't look like the other three games. It's very conservative, and Kellen Moore's toy isn't even out there doing stuff. So it's easy to go, well, okay, Garrett really flexed, because Garrett looks at it and goes, hey, guys, I've been in this environment a million times. Here's the way we need to go win this game.
But I do think there's a value to experience, and Kellen Moore's the youngest coordinator in the league. He's never done this before. He may have been taken behind the woodshed. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to adjust. You have to adjust to the adjustments, and then you have to adjust to those adjustments. I mean, these could be growing pains. I mean, we always say that a young coach will be better in his next opportunity after enduring these growing pains. This might just be growing pains for him as well.
When Kellum's asked about the offense all in the offseason, collaborative. It's going to be collaborative. Mm-hmm. Collaborative. We talked about week 17 last year when Linehan got to call the plays, but the game plan, we're led to believe, was many people. There was a graphic on the TV broadcast last night, and it was four windows, kind of Brady Bunch style, but it was four windows. Kitna in the top left, mm-hmm. Garrett in the top right, Kellen Moore in the bottom left, and Nussmeier in the bottom right.
Right.
And you mentioned Kellen Moore's toy, Tony Pollard, wasn't in the game. Well, guess who else didn't play much? Nussmeier's toy, Blake Jarwin. And he had their biggest offensive gain of the day. God. He wasn't in the mix either.
Okay.
I'm just sorry. Yesterday does not feel, and I'm not saying this in a definite nature, because who could know?
Right.
But yesterday did not feel like the new offense, Kellen Moore offense. Yesterday was Garrett.
Okay.
It looked like Garrett. Mm.
So let's talk about this coming up next. Let's talk about Garrett's decision at the end of the first half that confused everybody. What was he doing there? We'll talk about the Cowboys going for it on fourth down next on 105.3 The Fan. What does Travis Frederick think about this loss? He'll tell us at 10:40. What does Stephen Jones think about this loss? He'll tell us at noon. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan, on a Overreaction Monday. Shout out Randy Galloway. You can always hit up the show on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. Would love to hear what you have to say about this game. A lot of people, I think, frustrated with Garrett. A lot of people thinking, all right, what's the deal with Dak? Have we seen a mirage these first three games? So, it's very standard overreaction stuff, but there's a real pivotal moment in the game that is worth talking about, especially within the context of what I think we all agree here was a very conservative game plan that felt very Jason Garrett. So if you're looking at it that way, why did the Cowboys go for it on 4th-and-2 at midfield, down 6-3, with a minute and a half to go, knowing that New Orleans was going to get the ball to start the second half? What did you guys make of that?
Well, I think it showed a lot of confidence in the defense, which was justified because that defense was incredible. They didn't give up a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And that's still a lot of weapons on that Saints team. And I think that was a chance there to say, hey, even if you get the ball, we have confidence in our defense, which I was shocked that they were doing it. But I also respected it because it's like we talk about how conservative Garrett is, how in situations like that, typically his coconuts go way up inside his body and they can't be found. And ever since, was it last year or the year before when everyone started killing him for not going for the fourth and ones?
The Houston game.
He started going for them all the time. I immediately thought, okay, this is him sending a message to everyone. Oh, no, I'll go for fourth and ones. I remember when Jerry called me to his office and told me what a pee I was. I remember that very much and how Jerry built his empire by risking it. So, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it.
That was way more dangerous, by the way, when you're just assessing risk. What they did yesterday was way more dangerous than what he passed in the Houston game.
Absolutely. I actually, knowing that the Saints had the ball coming out of the second half.
Right.
I personally was a big believer, and trust me, I'm normally very aggressive. I think you should go for two every time, okay?
Right.
But right then, in 6-3, and this felt like last year's kind of, it felt like the Errol Spence-Sean Porter fight, just back and forth.
Good boxing reference.
And I was sitting there going, my goodness, they're going to go for it right here, huh?
I didn't understand it at all.
I thought the smart play there would have been to go ahead and punt it, play defense.
Yes.
The Saints had not shown that they could take the ball, all the way down the field on you. So to me, 6-3 at the half, I'll cut my losses, or maybe I get a stop real quick and maybe I get the ball back in decent field position with a little bit of time left. Because there was time. It was under the 2-minute warning.
You had your timeout. To keep in mind, New Orleans had two timeouts as well. To underscore your point, KT, the two field goal scoring drives for New Orleans before that, 52 yards and 27 yards.
Yeah.
The Cowboys gifted them the ball at midfield with two timeouts. And to your point, Ben, about the defense, that's fair. The Saints got it down to the one. They were very close to scoring a touchdown. The most critical point of an NFL game in managing the game is knowing who gets the ball to start the second half in the final 5 minutes of the first half. That is where so many games are lost. That is hypercritical. That can double down as a two-possession game. And so the point being, they hadn't been able to move the ball on you. And to gift them the ball at midfield, going, hey, we're going to give them back-to-back potential scoring possessions, it's a three-point game. What in the hell were they doing?
I liked it. I think it's a chance to say, hey, man, we're not scared of you. We're going to win this game. We're going to take over. And they got it. They converted.
They got it, yeah.
They converted. I mean, it was successful. And so, I mean, it's not about whether or not it was the right call. It was the right call because it worked. But there was a fumble called. And, dude, I thought Zeke's elbow was down anyways. But as always, the Saints, the referees always give the Saints every call. They get every single call.
I don't know, man. I think the refs, we looked at the refs yesterday. The way the refs played that right, though. The way you're supposed to play that is call it a fumble and then overturn it.
The problem is that
too many times refs don't do that.
No, but here's the problem on that. And you're right. That's the way to do it. But the rules are a problem. The rule goes into the idea of, is there conclusive evidence? And so our buddy Bobby tweeted this out last night. If there's already doubt, why wouldn't you approach it with a clean slate? Okay, there's doubt. So let's approach it with a clean slate. Whether you have a committee or whatever it is, if there's five people looking at it, what do three people think? But the idea that you have to conclusively overturn it doesn't really make sense, does it? Because you're already saying we don't trust what we've seen on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, I'm the guy who wants replay to go away. I'm down to live with human error because they can't get it right with robots. So, I mean, this happens at least once a week. You see a replay and go, huh?
Okay.
What were they even looking at? Okay, why are they doing this?
Let's look at results right quick. Look at New Orleans' first drive to start the second half.
Mm-hmm.
How different is this game if it's 6-3 when the Cowboys go down and score? It's at that point, it's 10-6.
It's a little different.
And
yeah,
it's a New Orleans team that can't move the ball and can't get anything from field goals. And now they're two field goals down from even toppling your score.
I have a problem killing Garrett for that when the fact is what Ben said, they got it. Now, I do think, it's the thing. If we're going to talk about this, we had to turn over every leaf. I wouldn't have done it. I would have punted just because the vibe of the game, the way it was going. But they did get it. So that's where
that's fair.
They're also playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
And they came into this game with a ton of confidence. And, You know, it was a chance to take the crowd out of the game, to take momentum. And if you go down the field and you score, then you go into halftime, and that's what they're thinking about. And it's like a chance. And I would much rather see the Cowboys get out of their conservative ways and try to go for the win as opposed to play for the overtime field goal or whatever, this, which seems to be Garrett's conservative nature. But, I didn't have a problem with the call. I mean, it was ballsy as hell, but it's so rare to see ballsy from Garrett that I liked it.
I want to give Zeke credit, too, here. And I know people talk about Zeke maybe not being always accountable on the off the field. Mm-hmm. After the game, he said, I put it on the ground. My fault. Can't happen. Right. You know, he took full ownership of that fumble, and I thought that was a very mature thing of him to do. Because you never, you know, Zeke on the field has always been a very accountable player, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You don't ever get excuses from him. And his numbers looked real bad last night. I actually thought Zeke played really well last night. I thought Zeke got a few extra yards on plays where there was nothing. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of great catches. There were a couple times where he saw him in blitz pickup. I thought Zeke was really good last night. Just, there was just nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And that's what that all comes down to. But my frustration with the fourth and one, if you're going to do the fourth and one bit all year long, well, don't lump everyone into the box. They did it. They didn't do it with tight ends. That was an 11 personnel, I think, which means three wide receivers, but they still had them bunched in together. And I was just like, oh God. I was just watching it before they snapped it. I was like, they're not going to get this. They're not going to get it. It's all tight in between the numbers, but they did technically, it would have been a first down if he didn't fumble. So.
Did either one of you guys freak out about them being able to attempt a pass with 4 seconds to go and then still get the field goal off? Did that upset you guys in any way?
It didn't upset me. They started talking about it on the broadcast. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe they're on to something. And then you watched it and you're like, okay, I think it hit something over there. But they need to go to the NBA-style clock where, you know, there's tenths of seconds.
You can see it when it gets under 5 or whatever it gets under.
Because it may have been 4.9 seconds, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then when they stop the clock, it may have been 2.0 seconds. Mm-hmm. There's no telling. But I think regardless, there should have been some time left.
I think so, too.
I don't think it was close enough to where it would have been halftime.
Do you hear Garrett, though, with Sean and RJ?
Yeah, no. I got it right here. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is Garrett. Would you like to see clock change to where you have those tenths of seconds?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because that's the first thing that kind of came into my mind is, you know, maybe we need something like that because it just seemed like, you know, 2 seconds. There was a lot of things that happened in that 2 seconds.
So I saw someone on Twitter sent this to me, and you watched the clip. And he says, well, they didn't start the clock until he threw the ball. And I just go, well, how do you know? Because mm-hmm. there are 4.
Right.
It was still at 4 seconds. When Teddy released the ball, it was still at 4 seconds.
Right.
When the ball was snapped, it was at 4 seconds. So you just can't tell. There's all that time in between there. Now, the ref, was it McLaurin? Is that the guy?
I don't know.
The ref on the national broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's when the ball hits the ground out of bounds.
Yeah. When it hits it hits.
Well, what camera angle saw the ball land out of bounds? Did you see the ball land? No, you just see the ball go through the window of the TV.
Yeah.
You don't see it land.
And did the clock operator see that?
But it stopped at 2. Like, if it would have stopped at 1, then I think maybe we're talking about something. There were 2 full seconds. And Teddy appeared to kind of know how much time.
You know,
he didn't get a good throw on it, but he appeared to kind of.
Dude, he got rid of it quick, and the receiver didn't even get to where he needed to be because they were rushing it so much. What the thing that it really, you know, got me thinking about is, man, Peyton knows what he can do with how much time is left. That's what my first thought is. That is a guy who's in command of what is happening in the game.
You're thinking better game manager than Garrett.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. Garrett got a touchdown last night, and Sean Payton did not, so.
Oh, well, that's the other thing that we need to. We've gone too long without talking about how great the defense was.
Yeah.
They held them to 4 field goals, and that Cowboys team had 2 midfield turnovers.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
And how about this? An interception. Incredible.
That's a tough one, too.
Yeah. I mean, if you told me going into the game, listen, the things that you don't worry about with the Cowboys are their offense. They're putting up over 30 points a week. Things you worry about is, can they get pressure and can they get turnovers? And they got both.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just what's so great about the NFL, because it just didn't matter. They still lost.
It didn't matter. They still lost. And that's the other thing, too. You know, a lot of times we come in here and do the show and we base it off of social media reactions or these text messages. And quite frankly, those are places to vent your frustration. And when you're frustrated, you're not thinking the most rationally. You're emotional. People are very emotional about last night's loss. But if you step back and you go before the season started and you had no idea how the season was going to unfold, if you said you enter October 3-1, you'd go, oh, cool. Yeah, and you're probably going to lose that road game at New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, so what was the reaction on social media? I wasn't really on social media.
A lot of people were...
off with their heads!
Yeah, this team sucks.
Really? After 3-0?
Overrated. Oh, yeah.
And if you're not willing to go on the air and say that this is the crappiest team of all time, you're a P and Jerry Jones owns you.
It's time to tank.
It's just a lot of that stuff. You know, but that happens because, quite frankly, I mean... I've made the weird decision not to drink last night. I always assume that at the end of a Cowboy game, everybody's drunk and pissed off.
I don't know
off.
About on Sunday nights, though, man. Dude. I feel like I get up and go to work in the morning.
Oh, that's the best time to sip a little something, man. Get you some Balcones and sip on it. The game's going down, and then you're just, like, really feeling it by the fourth quarter.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I think it's bad. I think that's where you get hangovers. I think the 325 game's good because you got a couple hours to chill on it. But I think also...
hydrate.
There was also a lot of people who were freaking about, and then there were people who were mad at Garrett. I mean, because that's the number one thing that pops up is I've seen this.
It reeks of Garrett. Is that the conspiracy? Did Garrett get his paws on this thing?
Garrett got the blame for last night's loss.
Garrett got the blame for it.
Kellen got all the credit for the first three games.
It's a great position to be in for Kellen. Okay, so so Kellen and Dak are in the clear. Uh-huh. This is not their fault. This is Garrett. Sneaking into the offense's hospital room and taking a pillow and suffocating them in the middle of the night while the nurse isn't watching.
That's what happens when you've been here for a decade and you have like two playoff wins. It's basically what happens, man. It's like, hey, I remember this last decade. Hey. This is Garrett's fault.
Yes, yes.
And I sat there and did the same damn thing. Garrett, what did Garrett do? Why did Garrett do this? Honey, come in here. What is Garrett doing right now?
I was thinking it was Kel Linehan Moore.
Yeah, you know, so. Seriously, it's all three of them love them together.
Oh, that was Kellen's tribute game. Don't forget Scott, everybody. Send one up for Scott.
Yeah. All right, it's Ben and Skin Show 105.3 The Fan. We got a tense interview now.
Oh man,
we got to interview Travis Frederick, and it's easy when things are red and high, and his Madden rating's really high.
Right,
yeah. But now
he's a sweet man. Then
we got to see what Madden's going to do to his rating. And the offensive line didn't have their best game.
Well.
Coming up next,
did he change his pants?
The end of our what?
You know, half time.
Oh, because he sweats. Yeah.
Ending a second ago? What was Ben about
maybe
to end?
The last Travis Frederick interview?
No.
While his Mad rating is a 96. We'll talk to Travis Frederick next on the Ben and Skin Show 105.3 The Fan. It's the Ben and Skin Show 105.3 The Fan on a Cowboy Monday. We're overreacting wildly to a Cowboys loss 12-10 to the Saints, and joining us now after a loss, which I know he regrets these shows now more than ever. Brought to you by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys, and Dr. Pepper. It's time for this.
It's like going into Wisconsin.
Well, I got the kicked out of me in Wisconsin once. Forget it.
Snap count on my mind, Romo hand on my butt. I'm the center, and that's what's up, yeah. I touch the ball on every play, and if you see me coming at you, it's time to pray. I got a big beard and a real mean streak. In the bedroom, I'm a super freak. I once ate a whole honey-baked ham. Ask a DT who the f*** I am. My name is Frederick. Yeah, Travis Frederick. My name is Frederick. Yeah, Travis Frederick.
Yes, thank you, Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys, and Dr. Pepper for this, an opportunity for us to visit with all-world center Travis Frederick. How you doing today, Travis?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. And obviously, it's more fun to have these talks after a win, but now we have to grill you with the hardest questions of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what I signed up for when I agreed to move to Mondays.
Right, you're on Mondays now.
Thursdays was a little easier at that point, but that's all right.
On Thursday, you've had a chance to marinate. Cowboy fans aren't worried. Media's not worried about whatever happened in the past. It's about the future. But right now, you're smack dab in the eye of the storm for overreaction. So a lot of people asking about, did you guys come out with a little bit of a different game plan? Were you trying to run the ball more on first down? Did you go with less play action? Was it because it was noisy? So what can you tell us about your team's approach offensively?
I'm not exactly sure if the game plan was specifically set up differently than it previously had been. As the plays get called out, we just sort of execute those. And we talk about some of those game plan things during the week, but a lot of that, you know, play calling and that sort of flow of the game is sort of left up to the game itself. So during the week, we're practicing the plays that we think are going to be good into their looks and how we can adjust to them and things like that. But we don't practice the actual flow of the game itself. So I'm not exactly sure if that was the plan or if that was something that just kind of happened through the game.
Now, how much discussion is there about adjusting what you guys do or, you know, configuring what you do based on the environment? Because we're having a lot of discussion about it looked crazy. I mean, we heard it, but it also looked crazy noisy the way you guys were trying to communicate with one another. Did that have an impact on what you guys did or didn't call last night?
That's also it's hard for me to answer. I don't think that it did. I don't know that for a fact because I was the one calling the plays. But I will say it was pretty loud there. But I was really happy with our communication as a group, especially offensively. I don't know about on the defensive side of the ball, but for us, I felt like we were able to get the calls out and get the adjustments that we needed on the field. And sometimes in an environment like that, you have misses. And I can say honestly, within the O-line, I don't think we had any of those miscommunications or missed plays or anything like that.
So in terms of the noise, it didn't keep you guys from audibling or in any way or hurt you guys in regards to communication?
No. You know, we were able to several of those plays were audibled or checked. Oftentimes, multiple plays are given in the huddle and we pick one. All of that was able to happen. I do think that the practice that we put into that during the week with the extra crowd noise and, you know, just our communication being overly communicative during the week did help us there.
I realize we're barely 12 hours removed from the end of that game by this point that we're talking to you. But, you know, just looking down at the numbers, you go, okay, the team wasn't successful running the ball. Mm-hmm. Did it feel that way during the game? Did it feel like, hey, we're missing these assignments or they're loading up on us? It, you know, being so close to the game, why does it feel like you guys weren't able to run the ball?
Yeah, I think we really just felt out of rhythm. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that I look at now. You know, we haven't had a chance to meet about it yet. We'll do that this afternoon. But I really did just feel out of rhythm. And I think it was one of those times where our execution wasn't on point. And it was you know, one play, you know, there's an early play where I missed a linebacker run through. And the next play, somebody tripped. And the next play, there was somebody else. It was kind of like each play, somebody had a bad one. And we just couldn't get everybody together at the same point. It wasn't that everybody played bad the whole game. It was that every once in a while, every couple of plays, somebody had something wrong. And when that happens and you're not in the flow as a group, that's when it shows up that it looks like there are a lot of bad plays in a row.
Well, it looked like the Saints defense was just stuffing the run. Malcolm Brown looked like he was hell to deal with. Although, on the touchdown run, I noticed you and Zach had some ferocious blocks on that, so congratulations on that. But in general, it looked like it was really tough sledding for you guys. Is this just a case of you win some, you lose some, and their defensive line just happened to be a little bit better than you guys on this particular day? Is that oversimplifying it?
You know, I think there is a little bit of truth to that. I think that those guys really did come out and play really well. And like I said, there was times here and there that we weren't on our P's and Q's. And, you know, we need to focus on being better about that and being better for a higher percentage of the time so that we have a better chance of everybody being great together. You know, and they did a lot of things on defense. They came in with a great game plan. They made a lot of adjustments and they had a lot of checks in place so that they, if they knew when we were running the ball, they would, you know, check into a pressure right into that. It was sort of the perfect deal. So you could tell that they had definitely studied and were able to kind of tee off on a couple of those things.
This is Travis Frederick joining us on Monday mornings after the Cowboys play, brought to you by Miller Lite and Dr. Pepper, two great tastes that go great together. So, Travis, last night, what did your homie Tyron say very stoically after the game about the way he was feeling?
Well, as you may imagine, there wasn't a lot of words that came out of Tyron's mouth after the game. he doesn't say a lot.
Right.
And I did see him in that boot. Hopefully he's doing all right. I haven't talked to him yet this morning. I'm sure he's here getting treatment already. I haven't been down to the training room yet, but I'll go check on him right away. I know after the game I checked on him and he seemed okay, but you know, definitely not great.
Wow, that sucks to hear. Okay, I want to go back just for a minute. You talked about the Saints having an awesome game plan. Do you think they were able to pick up on when you guys were running and when you weren't?
You know, I did notice the linebackers and a couple of those people, you know, making signals after we would check to things. And I don't know if that's a case of them, you know, being able to steal some of our signals or if it's based on situation and tendencies. You know, we have in this day and age, we have these computer programs that do all of you know, the scouting video and all of that stuff, so they can pick up tendencies that your brain would never be able to pick up. And it's really amazing to see that data. And so sometimes there's things like that that come up. I don't know exactly what it was, but I do know that if we're going to be more successful, we're going to have to execute better.
Can you email me and scan that data?
Data. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you said the robot, the robots who are crunching all the numbers. We need that proprietary data.
You know, I just don't think that's something that I'm in the power to share. You know,
dude, just let us have your login.
Yeah, you don't even have to share it. What's your password?
Is it one of those deals where if there's multiple logins under the same name that the computer will recognize that?
Yeah, I think it's one of the, you have to do a reCAPTCHA every time you come in and make sure you're not a robot. And once you're... once you're coming in from a different IP address, it recognizes that and sees you as an outsider. So I'm just not sure that's going to work.
You told us off air that all the offensive linemen share the same illegal Hulu account, right?
You know, I don't remember that particular conversation, but that sounds like something that you guys would do on your show.
Must have been a dream.
We would totally do that.
Yeah.
Listen, we're huge fans of yours. And today is, it just shows what a class act you are. You're coming on, doing this interview, great answers, not shying away from any questions. And I think you'd be great to do endorsements. I think you're a perfect spokesperson for brands out there. I honestly do. I think you'd be exceptional. You're great off on and off the field. You're a lot in the community. And so I noticed that Dak was talking about eating Wendy's nuggets in the huddle last week. And so maybe you could just start talking about advertisers when you know he's mic'd up. Have you thought about that?
Well, that's definitely an idea. I don't know that he actually mentioned that particular brand name. The clip I saw was just specifically spicy nuggets.
Wait, you had to see the clip? You didn't live it?
Actually, I don't remember him saying that at all. So I'm not exactly sure how that happened.
Wow, you tuning him huddle. Out. Wow,
but you leave the huddle faster than everyone else because you run up to the ball.
I'm not sure that's necessarily a true statement, Casey. Yeah. Hey. Why are you lying on the radio?
Yeah, quit lying on the radio. I think
ready break.
Well, ready break. Are you the guy who says ready break?
No, Dak's the guy that says ready break.
Do you get to clap?
Everybody claps. Yeah.
Okay, good. So
that's an important piece.
So Skin brings up an important point. You were tuning Dak out in the huddle.
And then Kevin implied that if Travis runs to the ball and Dak is still talking, Travis just doesn't have the energy to go back and hear what the end of what Dak is saying is.
And I'm very cognizant of the things that are being said there. I think that must have been during a timeout. You know, and during the timeout, I usually am trying to wipe all the sweat off of my face and my body.
Yeah, you're like, oh, God, he's back there talking about nuggets again. Get me the hell out of here.
Well, you know, sometimes if he gets to be talking about food, then it really is distracting.
Okay.
You know? Do you get hungry during the games?
Absolutely. You expend a lot of energy out there. You know, pregame, you eat some extra food. You know, we have sort of fuel bars and all that stuff. And then during halftime, again, generally a lot of people will eat during that time too.
I like the idea of why wait till halftime. I like when the defense is in, you guys just have a small little restaurant over there. Have some food servers over there and bring in you plates and stuff. Can I take your order? Why not do that? Just get some protein, bro.
And I'm just not sure that's the best way to do that. It might make you feel a little heavy or...
No.
I have a hard time, you know, I have very specific things that I can eat. You know, I try not to eat peanut butter and jelly. That's one of the favorite things to eat is people eat peanut butter and jelly during or before the game. And I try not to do that because I get that peanut butter taste in my mouth the whole game.
Oh, no.
That's bad for me.
And then you have peanut butter on the top of your mouth where you're trying to call out audibles for blocking audibles and
that's
stuff.
That's tough. Yeah, it's difficult to really enunciate with that peanut butter mouth.
I love the whole visual of you guys sitting over there looking at overhead shots while eating roast beef and gravy.
Only you can come up with this stuff.
How's your first Monday interview after a loss going?
So far, it's okay.
I think
it could be better. KT really asked a bad question there.
Yeah, sorry about the whole KT thing.
Can I save it?
That was like an early turnover in your own territory, man.
Let's see if you can save it.
Good luck.
So, night game, what time did you guys get home this morning?
Hey, that's a great question, KT. Yeah.
Bailed out.
The plane landed about 1:45. I think. I was back in bed, I believe. I looked at the clock at 2:15.
You didn't go clubbing last night when you landed?
No.
Keep it open for you?
Go to the star. I was looking for you.
No way. I went straight to bed knowing I'd have to get up early and deal with you guys this morning.
Oh, that sucks.
Gary's at the front of the plane going, let's go to the Cowboy Club. Come on, everybody. We'll keep it open late.
Well, so just to put a bow on this thing, obviously it wasn't what you guys wanted to have happen, but look, you started off the season really. I don't know why I'm giving you a pep talk here.
He needs it. After what Kevin did to him, he was so in the dump.
Hey, keep your head up, Travis. You guys are still a good football team, buddy.
Hey, you know, like I said last night, I was talking to the reporters. It's a long. Well, I believe this was specifically Archer.
Okay.
And you know, it's a long season, and it's very uncommon that teams go undefeated. You know, this is a loss, and losses can sometimes be valuable in that it shows you the things that you need to work on, and it shows you what not to do in the future. So sometimes knowing what not to do is just as important as knowing what to do. And you know, we'll study this, and we'll take a really pointed eye at it and make sure that we're focused on the details of our craft and making sure that execution gets right, and we'll be better because of it.
You know, we do goof around a lot, Travis, but before we let you boogie, how are you feeling physically? I mean, obviously you missed all of last year. Mm-hmm. You look great out there. Do you feel 100% like yourself?
You know, that's a good question. I felt good about where I was, you know, at the beginning of camp and at the beginning of the season, you know, a good starting point. I need to continue to improve through the season. To get back to that mark, I don't think I'm back 100% to my best self ever. But it's very hard to say that you'd ever be back to your best self at the first game of the season, or even early on in the season. You generally, at least the hope is to continue to improve throughout the season, and that's what my hope is.
What should your Madden rating be right now?
Based on last night's game, probably like a 57.
Travis.
You know, we'll keep going, and you know, hopefully we can raise that back up.
Hey man, you do need a pep talk.
Listen,
this team is F.
We're gonna watch the film. We'll be done by like 5 o'clock today, and once that happens, yeah, we point forward and everything's all good.
Travis, I want to read this to you. A listener.
He's already down.
He texted this in.
Now you're going to read a troll.
KT's really trying to get it better.
It's 877-881-1053. It's the AutoFlex Leasing
Keep
fan
your head
text.
Up,
great advertising.
And a guy says, yeah, I have to hit it or I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, I got you.
So the guy says, man, this interview really helps a Monday loss. I feel bad for Travis, but this is therapy for the fans. Yeah. So thanks for doing it, Travis.
Well, thanks for you guys for being the therapists.
We're brave. Yeah.
You guys really do the work that nobody else wants to do sometimes.
Hey, don't cancel these interviews just because today was so weird. We love you, and thank you for taking the time to visit with us, and we'll talk to you after a big win next week.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. See you later. There goes Travis Frederick.
He is not going to make it through the week. Did you hear him?
See you, Travis.
He's still there. Travis.
Hello?
I mean, he slammed his headset down and ran off.
I still think you're good at sports.
Oh my God!
Which ones?
All of them.
Oh yep. Man, that was awesome. Definitely we appreciate archery. Travis, right? That, and hey, it's hard to put a smile on a Cowboy Monday after a big loss. But hey, that did it. That did the job pretty good. Coming up next, we'll go around the rest of the NFL. Oh no!
Travis immediately walked
up
to
a
piano.
This is actually Travis playing down line.
Oh no! Yeah. There's a piano in the Cowboys podcast studio.
He just started playing.
He's playing this song.
What a weird choice!
Looking good, guys.
This is how he feels. Coming up next, we'll go around the rest of the NFL right here on 105.3 The Fan.
R.I.P.